Minister Dorothy, would you please come to the pulpit? Let's wait. Such an honor to have such a woman of prayer, personal intercessor for our ministry. So we welcome her on several fronts tonight.
Hello, everyone. I just love the Lord. I mean, I just do. Bishop introduced the spirit tonight that we've been covering for a while. And these are spirits that hinder the flow of God in our lives. And we're connecting tonight and we're continuing with the spirits that hinder the flow of God. And we've covered so far the spirit of Cain, which is jealousy and backbiting and gossip. We've covered the spirit of Korah, which is rebellion. We've seen a lot of that. The spirit of Balaam, which is greed. We've seen a lot of that. Spirit of Absalom, betrayal and loyalty. And the spirit of Jezebel, which Carol covered last time, controlling. And tonight, we're doing the spirit of Leviathan. People say, what's Leviathan? Well, it's confusing and twisting of the truth of God's word. That in itself to tell you that the enemy coming in for the kill a lot of times to confuse us. So, first and foremost, God loves us. He's our daddy. He's our heavenly father. And he wants only good for us. And the word says in 1 John 4:8 that he is a God of love. So when the enemy comes at you, remember that. That he's not going to just let you be devoured by the enemy. You know, he's here for us, and he loves us. So we've been highlighting these spirits because we face situations, like Bishop just said, daily. We must learn how to recognize these spirits and resist them when they come against us and not assist them. So our bishop's been preaching, as we know, such power-packed sermons on the struggles that we face every day. Every time, everything in these sermons is related to things we face daily. So he's been going down really deep, just where we live, revealing what's really hidden in our hearts. We learned that in Freedom tonight. What is in your heart? He's been teaching us how to overcome the flesh, not to be ruled by the flesh, but to be changed and transformed into the image of Christ. And that's the ultimate goal, right? So we should be living from glory to glory to glory. That's how we should be. So as we die daily to our fleshly desires, the more we are transformed into his image as we die daily. And this is what the Spirit wants to steal, is the glory. John 10:10 says that. 2 Corinthians 3:18 talk about us being progressively being transformed into his image from one degree of glory to more, which comes from the Lord. Before the creation of the world, God adopted us as his children. Are you God's children? We are his children. He adopted us and to let the world see his glory through us. He adopted us. And Ephesians 1:5 says, the Amplified says, he predestined and lovingly planned for us to be adopted to himself as his own children through Jesus Christ in accordance with the kind intent and good pleasure of his will. So he adopted us so we can reveal his glory to the world. Revelations 1:6 says, we are to rule on this earth and formed us into a kingdom of priests and kings so we can rule on this earth in his dominion and majesty. So that when a crisis, things of life comes and to hit us, we will know how to stand and not fail and not move in the flesh. So the first thing you do when Satan attacks, usually determine the outcome. How are you going to act? How are you going to keep acting when the enemy keep attacking you? The enemy attacks when he's threatened. So be prepared when he comes to try to kill and steal and destroy from you. I want to tell you a little story. Several weeks ago, we were traveling to a family affair in Augusta, Georgia, when we were suddenly, laughing and talking, going along, suddenly hit by an animal. We were so taken aback because he came out of nowhere. We were just talking and laughing as we were going down the road, and we stopped eventually and found out that the whole front end of our car was damaged, but it wasn't damaged where we couldn't drive it. We drove to Augusta and came back the next day and took the car to the shop the next day, and they had to replace the whole front end of the car. And I'm thinking all this time, what is, you know, what is going on? And we replaced the front end of the car. A couple of days later, I'm driving from church, home from church, and I made a turn into go to a road, and the car would not, the wheel would not turn. It was really hard to turn the wheel, so I called my husband and told him something is happening with the car. He said, "Can you drive it?" I said, "Yes, I can." And I drove it, but I had to turn really hard the wheel every time I made a turn. So when I got to the house, because the car parked the car and called someone to come and fix it, found out that we couldn't fix it because any parts had to be ordered. And in the meantime, a couple of days later, my daughter is going to work, and she calls frantically saying, "My car is shaking." And she pulled inside the road, and her car had to be towed. We're down to one car. So ever since I started studying for this series, I've been attacked. I've been attacked in a house, and then find out recently, this weekend, my air condition went out, which never happened. So, like I said, he attacked when he's being threatened by us, because we are the light bearers and the glory bearers on this earth. So I told my husband, I said, "I'm going to keep standing. We're going to keep confessing the word. We're going to keep praying. And we're going to see God's salvation." Because the enemy tries to come and confuse you. That's what this spirit is, to tell you, God don't care about what you're doing. He don't care about you. He don't care about you having to spend all that money to get your car fixed. But he does care. So in these days especially, the enemy mode of operation is to tire the saints of God out so we can't fight. That's how he operates. So the spirit of Leviathan now, this spirit is the spirit of confusion. It twists and twists the word of God and hinders the flow of God's glory in our lives. The Hebrew word for Leviathan is Leviathan. It's the concept of twisting and coiling, just like you see in an alligator. The closest word picture, which is the Hebrew, to Leviathan have to do with an animal similar to a crocodile or maybe even a dragon. And what does a crocodile and a dragon do? Think about the alligator. It will get you in its jaws, and it will thrash you until you're too tired to fight. It tosses you back and forth this way and that way to make you give up. Think about what the enemy wants to try and do to you when you have situations going on in your life. And when it attacks you, this spirit tries to confuse you. So this is the nature of this twisting spirit. Leviathan is a metaphor for a powerful enemy, a symbol of Satan. And Revelation 12 and 9 says it's referred to as a dragon. So as in Job 41, Job was the person that the enemy attacked. The whole 41 tells the whole story of Leviathan. God is talking to Job in this chapter. Job was a good and righteous man who suffered unbearable tragedies. The spirit tried to destroy Job. Remember that? With the same confusing, twisting lies that God had neglected him. He told me that before, and I'm sure he told you the same thing. How his life was over and there was nothing left for him, which was a lie. Job, he faithfully responded to the difficult trials and was blessed in the end. He did not give up. He did not curse God and die like his wife wanted him to. He trusted God even in the face of what the enemy was doing to him. God was showing Job his immense power over in any type of creation, no matter how strong it is. So when you read this chapter, you will begin to understand that there are characteristics that are associated with this creature that are also characteristics of this spiritual principality known as Leviathan. Ephesians 6 and 12 says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, right? We fight against the evil rulers and authorities in the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against mighty evil spirits in the heavenly places, and that's this Leviathan spirit, a principality. Spiritual wickedness in high places is a twisted evil spirit that lie, deceive, and orchestrate the wickedness, twisted perversion that takes place on the earth today and in our lives. Wicked means twisted, out of its normal condition. These spirits seek to twist everything right and healthy into something perverted. And they oppose everything and everyone that belongs to the Lord. So we need to be wise and vigilant so that we do not allow the enemy to take advantage of us without us realizing what's happening. And that's what he was trying to do to us with our car. This means he can work in ways that are not immediately obvious to us. So Job 41 verse 34 refers to this spirit as the king of all the children of pride. So what is pride? Pride, the prideful spirit, is one of the main ways the spirit of Leviathan works and operates today. Imagine that. He uses people in a prideful way. Pride gives the spirit access into your heart. So if you have a prideful spirit, watch out, because your heart will be affected and our lives, and causes confusion about who we are. That's what the enemy wants us to know. He don't want us to know who we are. So pride is a form of self-exaltation. It's self-righteousness. It's feeling spiritually superior to others. Extreme focus on oneself. This spirit wants to infect people in high places and positions because it's a glory seeker. It steals the glory that should go to Jesus. It's driving you for power and position. It's never having enough and always wanting more. He elevates you to the top, and when he finds And then find something in your life to shame you and bring you down, and then you fall. Especially people who are leadership position. People who are government leaders, pastors, ministers, corporate leaders, teachers, leaders of any kind. When the spirit of confusion is present, the individual thinks they are the only ones able to fix what's wrong. This is the spirit of pride. Acting like they know more than you do. There's a false sense of identity that they are really somebody and they're better than you. They control the situation in which they are placed, therefore they are very hard to work with. You remember who was like that in the Bible? The Pharisees and Sadducees. Remember that? Matthew 23 talk about that. That they also was caught in this twisted confusion that they were more righteous than Jesus. And they walk around wearing clothes and wanted to be recognized in the marketplace as special leaders. So Adam and Eve were the same way. Adam and Eve were caught. They experienced this confusion in the garden firsthand. The serpent planted a seed of pride in their hearts by twisting God's word and God's truth into a lie. They fell for it, and they fell into sin. Adam and Eve walk with God in the glory every day. didn't they? They walk and talk with him every day. So they were deceived. How about us? You got to be really careful. So pride, confessing your pride to God will help you get over prideful issues. Pride is a barrier to repentance, so you have to repent. Admitting you are struggling and asking God for help and forgiveness. Practicing humility, putting others first before yourself, also helps. Look for opportunities to bless others. And that, you know, pride goes before a fall. Remember the Bible says that. And 2 Corinthians 10:4 says that you must speak to those rebellious thoughts and teach them how to obey Christ. So when these thoughts come in your mind, you tell them where to go. And we pray and forgive quickly one another. Those who have rejected you, this prevents bitterness and resentment from building up in your heart. Acknowledge it is natural to feel hurt and sad and angry after being rejected. This is another vice of the devil. The way he works is through rejection. Any way the spirit of confusion works in people's hearts and their lives with a wounded and rejected spirit. Rejection may not be caused by one single factor. It might be things like a divorce. That is very tragic. Ending a marriage. Turning down a job. Not getting promoted. Turning down a date. Things like that. You may have negative childhood experiences with parents, teachers, or family members. Things like that. The spirit deceives the person, causing them to believe that nobody likes them. Nobody wants to talk to them. Nobody wants to be around them. What are people saying about them? And they don't think too highly of themselves. So like I said a little few minutes ago, you pray and ask God quickly to forgive. You forgive and then you go and you move on and ask someone to help you. Ask God to help you. Meet the other friends to help you. And I love these emotions, not to cloud your judgment. Leviathan is another place he attacked is marriages, the marriage covenant. Especially the spirit loves to work on husbands and wives. That twisted spirit is responsible for nearly all, if not all, the divorce that we see today. The devil wants to create confusion in marriages, couples, to weaken and divide them. If people are surrounded by confusion or arguments, fighting constantly, there's a strong likelihood that there is a demonic presence around. If you recognize that spirit is operating in your marriage or in your home, repent quickly. Resist temptation. Pray to God for help. Use the truth of God's word against him. Because the Bible says God made marriage as a sign of his love for the church. So pray some things to help with that. Put God first. Forgive one another quickly, even when the other person will not forgive. You forgive quickly. Love and respect. Be kind to one another and make your spouse a priority. Another way that the enemy works against us to twist God's word and make us confused is trying to separate us from a God relationship. So the spirit of confusion can be very effective in separating people from their relationship with God. It causes hardness of heart towards God, especially when things don't go the way we want them to go. How many people blame God for things that happen in their lives? When clearly you don't do what God asks you to do, you do your own thing instead. So the spirit twists your thinking, whispering up lies about God, stirring up feelings of anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, and resentment towards God, wanting you to believe God does not care about you and you are a loner, which is not the truth. I was in a job several years ago, and the Lord allowed me to leave the job for a period of time, which I agreed to, and my husband did, and we left. I left, and a couple of years later, I went back. The reason why I went back is because the Lord had me to go back. And somebody in this church, she's in heaven right now, was instrumental in helping me to get back to that job. But her name was Miss Harriet Terry. I went back to nursing after several years of being out. I was not going to go back. I did not want to go. But she convinced me, along with my friend, that I need to go back to work. Even though the Lord told me, he called me back to work, so I did. But he told me, you're only supposed to work 2 days a week. Don't work more than 2 days a week. So I did. I went back to work, and I was happy to be back to work. And because we were low on finances, because not working for a while, every time they would ask me to work over, I would do it. But I was told not to do that. But I did it anyway. After I worked for a while, several months, I start feeling that I could get more and more days working. So I did. I got more and more days. And the more days I got, the more I wanted, because I was getting more money. But I wasn't trusting God to do what he said he was going to do for me. I was thinking, if I don't work extra, I won't get any extra money. So I kept working. And one day, while I was walking from room to room to see my patients, I literally felt a weight came on me, and I felt like I was going to die. And I didn't know what happened, because I couldn't express what happened, but it was a weight, that something I've never experienced before, and I thought if I did not stop, I was going to die. So that night I went home, and the Lord showed me a vision. I saw this huge door, and I couldn't close the door, but if I stepped back, I closed the door, and I saw the enemy on my backyard, and they were angry that I found a door, that I closed it. And the Lord told me that night, he said, do not veer off of the path I've ordained for you to walk on. Don't do it. And I believe with all my heart, if I had died that day, I wouldn't have gone to heaven, because I was disobedient. And I was doing my own thing. That's what the enemy wanted me to do. He wanted me to do my own thing, trust myself for finances, knowing that I couldn't, nothing I can do, only God can help with that. I did what the enemy asked me to do. That's what I did. And then I almost died. But after that, I decided I'm going to do it God's way. So every time I would ask to stay over, I didn't. I said, I can't do that. So know that the enemy will come to trick you and put you in a place where you should not be, to cause harm to come to you if you don't listen to what God is saying. So I did do some talking to God. I listened to him and I prayed. I practiced Thanksgiving, and I did what he asked me to do. The other ways are depression. This spirit causes heaviness. Depression often comes after great victories. You ever had a great victory? The enemy comes to steal it right away. How many times do we doubt ourselves? You preach the word. People get saved. They get delivered. They get set free. You sing. You dance. All that. The spirit comes right away to trick you and confuse you and make you think you didn't do a good job. He make you feel less than. Even in your job, you work hard. Somebody else got the position. Somebody else got the raise, but you didn't. The lie he tells you that you are not enough and you're not good enough. Satan tricks people and want to keep them confused, stirring up their daily lives. He did it with Elijah. Remember Elijah? Elijah was depressed because he killed those prophets. And Jezebel came after, wanted to kill him, and he ran and hide, and he hid himself. Same thing with Jonah. Jonah didn't want to go, and he didn't want to do what God says. He didn't want Nineveh to be saved and Ninevites to be saved. He wanted them to die. God wanted them to live. God wanted to forgive them, but he didn't. This is what the enemy will do for us in our lives. So to help with that, you confess the word of God, you forgive, and you focus off of self onto God. So I love this scripture because it says in Isaiah 27, 1, it says, in that day, the Lord will take his terrible swift sword and punish Leviathan, and the swiftly moving serpent, the coiling serpent, he will kill the dragon of the sea. But until that day comes, we must continue to resist the spirit of confusion and be vigilant against him. But be prepared for the devil to return with new ways to tempt you and challenge you in your security with God. He wants to confuse you about your position of you being a child of God. So before you tackle the confusing, twisting spirit of Leviathan, though, you must be armed with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Not on our own. We are no match for God. So I like Luke 10:19. Just put it in perspective. He said, look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. That's what you have as a believer. Remember we first started, we said you are a child of God. God made you a son. He made you a daughter. So over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and serpents and crush them, and nothing will injure you. That's your word. That's your word. The word to us. Relationship gives us authority. Colossians 2:15 says, Jesus disarmed all spiritual rule and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. That's why when I first started out, I said that God loves us. He will not let nothing happen to us. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 says, to bring all your thoughts into the captivity of Christ's word. So Satan will try to every bit of discouragement to discourage you. He'll try to doubt, confuse you, and torment you. And it was a crisis during the disciples' days, those days of the old when the disciples walked the earth. They were also tempted. The prophets, church leaders, Jesus used them and as he's using us today to establish his church and overthrow the Satan's scheme. So when he comes at you, you know that God is with you. So he'll try, like I said, every bit of this bit of discouragement and doubt and confusion to torment you. And all you have to do is stand your ground and don't give up. God's glory is what he's trying to stop. What is God's glory? The glory of God is his goodness to mankind. Everything you see, the ocean, the sea, the stars, the birds, display God's glory. When God's glory is manifested, what do you see? Signs, wonders, miracles show up. We are to be manifesting God's glory on this earth, not being confused about who we are in Christ. So, to end, Luke 16:33 says, take heed, I have overcome the world. That's Jesus. And then Luke 12:32 says, fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom. And he loves you very much. Amen.
Didn't Dorothy do a good job explaining?
Yeah.
Now, when you hear a teaching like this, understand she laid out all the different aspects of your life where you'll see the Spirit operating. But I just wanted to add one or two of these little things, and one of them is this. This is why you have to be so cautious with a twisting spirit, because they'll come to you, and what you already know to be correct, they'll twist your thinking. Things you know are wrong, they'll make them right. Things that are right, they'll tell you they're wrong. And they're so convincing, and they'll use things like facts on you, and they'll try to say, well, so and so. And here's one of my favorite ones. We used to have a woman actually at another church used to do this, and she would always say, well, this is what everybody's saying, I'm just telling you. And what she meant was her and the two or three people that were listening to her, out of respect, they didn't agree with her, but they listened to her. So she's like saying, well, everybody. No, it's never everyone. And that spirit will try to bully you that way. And so what you have to do is, if you'll notice when she quoted that scripture in Isaiah 27, the reason why that's so important to understand is you also have to see it biblically, because it says that he takes the sword, and that's how you defeat Leviathan. That's the word of God. The one thing no one can twist is the truth. They can attempt it, but if you know it, it says you have to know the truth and it makes you free. You can't hear the truth, you have to know it. And so you wonder why you're already here. You're on Wednesday nights. Why? Because you're trying to know the truth. You're learning the truth. And the more you sit here, the more you learn teaching, the more you hear good preaching, then what happens is you know. And the more you know, the more you can defend yourself. And here's what I'm going to leave you with, a thought I want you to leave with. This was Leviathan Spirit. I'm an avid fisherman. Do you have any fishermen out there? And if you're not a fisherman, you still can get the concept. One thing that's aggravating is when your line gets twisted in your reel. There's nothing more frustrating. Man, you want to launch that little route, and you, poof, and your line gets twisted, it goes, poof. And it's like you can't get, because it's all twisted. So what do? You go in there and you start. Now, you can twist and twist and twist, but you know, sometimes I look at that reel and I thought, you know, and I take out my pocket knife. Instead of trying to figure this thing out, just cut it loose. Because the enemy will twist things and tie you up and get you stuck in that spot and wear you out. Dorothy says it's like an alligator, and they do. They twist it and they fight you until you give up. So sometimes instead of getting in the knot with it, instead of getting in the twisting, and I don't know if you know, but you ever take a dish rag, if you twist it, the more you twist it, the closer your hands together. Torsion's compression. You'll get compressed. You'll get caught in that thing. You'll get coiled up in that thing. So sometimes the best thing you can do, I'm telling you, when you recognize, she gave you all the indicators to recognize the spirit. When you see it, cut it loose. Just cut it loose. Use the word as your sword. And if you don't know how to use the word, just get away from it. And don't let it speak to you. If you know something is truth, and it's an established truth in your belief system, and someone's trying to tell you something else, cut them loose. Amen? Amen. Can you stand to your feet? One more time, let's give Dorothy a hand. She did such a good job tonight. Pray a blessing over you, Father. I thank you for every person that's here, Lord. I grant them traveling mercies on the way home. I release your angels to go before them, make their way safe and prosperous, keep them and guide them and guard them, and bless them in every area of their life. And as the bishop of this house, I pray the blessing of the house over them in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Don't forget to hug a few people on your way out. Tell somebody you love them. God bless you. We'll see you on Sunday morning.